Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. China has banned imports of U.S. poultry and eggs following the detection of avian flu in non-commercial flocks in the U.S. late last year. The ban follows the discoveries last month of a strain of H5N8 influenza in wild birds and in a so-called backyard flock of guinea hens and chickens in Oregon, as well as the detection of another strain in California and Washington. China's ban affects shipments of breeding stock, including live chicks and hatching eggs, as well as poultry and eggs. In the first 11 months of last year, U.S. exports of chicken, turkey, and duck products to China reached nearly $290 million. The energy minister for the United Arab Emirates today says his country is concerned about the balance in the oil market, but added that OPEC does not plan to shift its strategy to shore up falling crude prices, adding that the organization will likely wait until its next meeting in June before considering any change in strategy. Private exporters this morning reported to USDA export sales of 105,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations during the 2014-15 marketing year. The marketing year for corn began on September the 1st.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lunner.
Another cool morning is underway across the Midwest, but temperatures are not quite as cold as yesterday in the eastern areas, but certainly is colder in the northwest and parts of west central areas. Iowa this morning reporting some low temperatures in the negative single digits and negative teens, with a report of temperatures as cold as minus 14 at Fort Dodge. And there's also an unconfirmed report of a temperature extreme of around minus 21 in the northwest corner of that state. That those temperatures are not quite representative of the region as a whole, but nevertheless impressive nonetheless. We do expect to see the cool weather continuing across the region today, but temperatures will eventually recover a bit as we move forward through the next few days. A definite warming trend is coming our way, and we'll expect to see the temperatures become much more seasonable, in fact turning warmer than normal as we move towards the end of this week and certainly into the weekend. The temperatures will probably be warmest early next week, when we'll see highs in the northern parts of the Midwest in the 20s and 30s. We'll expect temperatures in the southern areas to run 40s and perhaps a few readings up around 50 degrees. But that's about a week away. We'll see this warming trend rather slow and coming across the region. There will be a brief period on Saturday where temperatures may get as warm as I just described, but we'll take a little bit of a setback right after we reach those warmer levels. And for a brief period of time, we'll have to deal with slightly cooler conditions once again. Well, the temperatures are not going to be as cold as they are this morning, though, certainly not again for any time real soon. And we're expecting to see the low temperatures tomorrow morning across the Midwest, mostly positive and negative single digits in the north, and readings mostly single digits and teens in the south. I think a lot of this cold air that's currently over Iowa this morning will be a little slow in abating across the Midwest, so we'll have to wait for another day before we start this warming trend. But the low temperatures on Thursday morning will likely be in the teens and 20s across a portion of the region. We'll expect to see a handful of upper single-digit readings possible in a few locations as well. And then as we move on into the weekend coming up, Saturday and Sunday lows will be mostly 20s across the Midwest, slightly cooler conditions in the northwest potentially. Well, in addition to the warming trend, we're going to experience relatively quiet weather pattern here. Not much precipitation of significance will fall for a little while. Now, with that said, it doesn't mean it's going to be completely dry, but what precipitation does occur across the region is expected to be mostly insignificant. We'll have a couple of cool fronts that will move across the northern portions of the Midwest that will set off a little bit of light snowfall and perhaps a little wintry mix of precipitation types every once in a while. But those events will not reach very far to the south, be mostly impacting the eastern Dakotas and areas eastward from there into the Great Lakes region. The first disturbance is expected to occur tomorrow. The second one will show up as we move out towards the end of the work week and into the weekend, and that one will probably have a little bit more meaning, but only for areas northern Minnesota into northern Michigan. Everybody else to the south will stay relatively dry, and that drying bias will stay with us as we go on into early next week. Yet another disturbance will pass through the upper parts of the Midwest as we go from Monday into early Tuesday, and eventually will bring some precipitation around midweek across the middle parts of the Midwest. So overall, it's not a bad scenario for most of us. Down in South America, nothing changed overnight. Still struggling with dryness in parts of Brazil for the balance of this week, but there is going to be widespread precipitation in western and southern portions of the country next week that will bring timely relief to many areas that are suffering from a little bit of stress right now. The driest areas and the most stressed crops are in the northeast part of Brazil, which is not a major corn or soybean production region. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Tickets are now on sale for the March 10th All-Day Ag Outlook meeting at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The cost is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and a Beef House lunch. Sue Martin will deliver a keynote. Murray Wise will give us his projections for land values in 2015. And we'll have panels on corn, soybeans, and cash grain. And we may have a surprise or two along the way as well. Call for your tickets right now. You can do that at 217-333-7300.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter March wheat, 5.94 and a quarter, up 3 3/4. Soft March, 5.60 3/4, up 5 1/4. March corn, 4.04, now 4.03 3/4, up 1 3/4. December, 4.28 1/4, up 2 1/4. January beans, 10.20, up 6 1/2. March, 10.22 1/2, up 6 1/2. November, 9.99 3/4, up 6. January soybean meal, 3.58.50, up $2. March, 343.50, up 230. January soybean oil, 32.57, up 12. March, 32.71, up 11. February live cattle, 161.10, up 65. February feeders, 224, up 60. February lean hogs, 76.12 1/2, down 52 1/2. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
Turnaround Tuesday.
Yeah, it is. We have beans back up. They've been up, 10 at one time or another after being down a hair. But after yesterday's big move down, they've bounced today. And wheat's also come along with it, up 5 to 6 and been up 10 to 12. Corn hasn't had much of a range, 5 center. We're up 1 to 2 there.
So we're just about back in the trading range for soybeans that we've been since November, certainly in the beginning, maybe the end of October. Is the market essentially marking time here? And if so, when does it consider a break from a time standpoint?
I think it's just due to South American weather and when they start harvesting, what the crop is there. The dryness in Northeast, which only produces about 5% of their crop, has got people hanging in there. But if you talk to people from there, they're going to have a record crop in everything, corn and beans.
So it's just a matter of when harvest picks up in earnest then?
Yes.
All right, let's look at the wheat for a second, because yesterday we got the wheat seedings report. And it surprised a lot of people with more than 2 million acres less winter wheat seedings. Does that take a pressure off the possibility of some kind of corn-soybean TIF in the spring?
I don't know that it does at all. I think you still have to have people deciding what they're going to plant, and price is going to decide that. So I don't think less wheat's going to have much to do with it.
What else are you keeping an eye on today?
Crude oil. Crude oil was down and made another new low, down under 45 at 44-something. And that puts pressure on a lot of things. We went to 44.20. We're back up at 45.60 right now, only down 40, but that continues to have a lot of reverberations around the world.
And we did have word from the emeritus that OPEC is not going to do anything between now and June.
Right. They want to keep their slice of the pie, and the only way they think they can do it is by continuing to produce big amounts, and they don't care about the price.
All right, Pete, thank you much.
Have a good one.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, March corn, 404 now even, 404 even up to July, 418 and three quarters up to December, 429 up three. January beans, 1019 up 5.5. March, 1022.5 up 6.5. And July at 1033.5 is up 6.75. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.